that there's bad traffic, or, I mean, you get a little four-year-old child, a little four-year-old girl walking along the street, and you get a dog that's bigger than the kid. I mean, it's pretty horrific to see a dog going for a kid like that, because there's lots of dodgy dogs over there as well. But the main purpose for us rescuing these children is because there is a high level of sex trafficking in Sihanoukville. It is a big place that kids are kidnapped, they're taken away. The child was just walking the streets, and then her life was never the same again. So our mission, we as prevention, we've worked before in dealing with girls that have been through sex trafficking, through prostitution. They've been rescued out, and then we've counseled them, we've worked through it. God has done an amazing work in their hearts and lives. I mean, bring absolute transformation that you wouldn't know the history of that girl unless you read their profile. But then God said, hey, we want you to get into prevention and to stopping the situation before it happens. So my wife and I, we go along the streets, we go and meet these little girls, we go and meet the parents, the families, if they have them, and we talk to them about getting them off the streets. And it's just been an amazing time. Our Princess Project now is just rescuing so many kids. I think we're meeting about 100 people every week now. Then kids are coming off. Four of our girls have just been put into the top school in the city, like the number one school in the city. Four of our girls have just gone there. We cover everything. We cover their clothing. We cover their food. We cover their education costs. And for the mums, it just becomes a big extended family project. We get the parents into trades. We get mums into sewing school. And we deal with any siblings that they have as well. I mean, it's been so amazing. I mean, a couple came over, actually. Well, I won't even go there. That'll take me sidetracking. It's all right. Not only do we have princesses, but we've just started to get a couple of princes as well. The brothers that are there too. We've got a 12-year-old boy. His name is Makara. And he was a tough little street kid, you know, scars on his face, you know, but a little champion, but, you know, a bit hard. He'd lived on the street his whole life. He's never been to school. And one day I saw him just crying his eyes out, and I thought my wife had actually given him a hard word. She'd said, hey, I didn't know. I just thought she'd said something pretty strong to him, and he's just crying. I'm thinking, man, what does Cherie say? So he's gone, and I went up to Cherie and said, hey, babe, you know, what did you say to Makara? Like, you know, what happened? And she said, he asked me if there is any chance that I can go to school. And Cherie said, yes. This little street kid, 12 years old, never been to school. And that was it. And he just lost it. He just started bawling. She goes, we'll enroll you this week. We'll get you a uniform. We'll get you your books. We'll put you into school. So this tough little guy just bawling his eyes out. Thought she'd ripped into him or something. But no, he's bawling because she said, yes, we will send you to school. We will provide for you to go to school. I mean, it's just been the most amazing time over there, but I might actually just put a DVD on quickly, and then we'll get into some more stuff.
Every day, silver and gold, straw in the hay, dried by
it's just been such an exciting time. I see all those beautiful faces. I'm just like, man, about 5 more weeks I'll be back there with my family. I got 2 boys and everyone says, oh, Benny, you're going to have a girl, you know, you're going to have a girl. I'm like, man, I've got hundreds of little girls over there. You know, I've got 2 of my own and they're my own as well. So it's very special. All right, well, first up, I just want to, yeah, we'll get into it. God gave me a word, basically. Did you hear that song that was playing? It says, staring at the pages of my life. You know, what kind of fruit are my actions growing? Well, first, I'm just going to tell you guys straight out, you've got a bank account with your name on it. Everyone's getting excited now. In this bank account, there's 86,400. All right, and every one of you have got it with your name on it. All right. The rich has the same as the poor. You can't give it away. You can't get more, but you can trade with it. 86,400. What is it? No. Good try. Huh? No. Anyone else? You want to know what it is? 86,400. You got it. Days? No, not days. No one got it? 86,400. No, you're getting spiritual on me. Seconds. Seconds in your day. Every one of you have been given 86,400 seconds every single day. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You have the same amount of seconds in your day as everybody else. It is an amazing gift from God. And what you do with your seconds is actually going to build things in eternity. Okay, who here has been fruit picking? Fruit picking. Anyone been fruit picking? A couple of you? Has anyone picked capsicums? I mean, it's a vegetable, but we'll say it's fruit picking. Anyone picked capsicums? No one. There's some nice fruit that you pick, like grapes, where you can just, you know, you snip the grapes, you drop them in a bucket. That's really it. That's it. All day, you're just cruising. But when it comes to capsicums, you start your day like this. You go down at about 6 o'clock, and you pretty much stay down there for 8 hours. Now, my wife and I wanted to go on a second honeymoon. I mean, because that's what every husband should do for their lovely wife. They should take them away on a second honeymoon. All the girls are like, yeah, come on, second honeymoon. So, but we needed to pay for it, so we decided to go fruit picking or capsicum picking. And it was hard work. 6 o'clock in the morning, you got a bucket, you start picking capsicums. For 8 hours. The idea is when you go down, you stay down. If you go down, come up, too many times, you'll be busted. You get to the end of the row could be like 50 meters. You stand up once, you turn around, you go back down. And we did this for about 2.5 months, 8 hours a day. I mean, you get to the end of the row, you would have back spasms, man. You're like spasming out. Seriously, you'd be falling on the ground. Your back is literally just shaking as the muscles are just having an attack. At nighttime, we're getting deep heat and tiger balm. We're rubbing into each other's backs. And I'm like, it's okay, baby. We're going to Vanuatu, second honeymoon. It's all good, you know. Rubbing out the muscles, trying to get going. But the thing was about picking capsicums for that long, I started to dream capsicums. I mean, my dreams were capsicums. I'd just start seeing capsicums everywhere. And if I was picking them now, I'd be looking at you. You guys would start to turn into capsicums before my eyes. The thing was, though, I started to value everything by capsicums. I would go to the shop. I'd go grocery shopping. I'd pick up a $2 pack of biscuits. I'd look at this pack of biscuits, and I wasn't thinking $2 anymore. I was thinking, how much time do I have to spend picking capsicums to buy this $2 pack of biscuits? And I think about it, it's about 10 minutes there, put it back on the shelf, I wouldn't do it. That's 10 minutes of picking capsicums, but everything was suddenly about capsicums. So your seconds, your 86,400 seconds, your time has amazing value. And what you trade with it is just down to your choice. Okay, so turn with me if you can to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. I think we might have that. Whoa, awesome. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You can see in the scripture that it is not about salvation. Because it says, even if everything you do is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. So it's not about salvation, but it is about what you are doing with your time. There's gold, silver, costly stones, there's wood, hay, or straw. And if everything I build is going to be tested with fire, we've got to ask ourselves, what am I building with my seconds? What am I building with my life? Am I taking all of my time and sowing it into like just wood, hay, and straw, and then I'm going to meet God face to face? All the stuff, my life's work is going to be put in the fire. It's going to be tested by fire. And if it was wood, hay, and straw, it's just going to be burned up. It was basically a waste of the seconds that God had given me. And I'm going to be maybe sad, I don't know. It says the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved. But yet if I'm putting my time, my seconds into gold, silver, and precious stones, I mean, mate, it says the builder will receive a reward. If whatever I have built gets put through the fire and it survives, it stands the test of fire, the builder will receive a reward. See, there are rewards to be had. There is a rewards from God. So the question is it wood, hay, and straw, or is it gold, silver, and precious gems? What am I building with my life? It's a very good question to ask. What am I building with the 86,400 seconds God has given me? The question we really need to ask ourselves is, am I doing the will of my Heavenly Father? That's it. Am I doing the will of my Heavenly Father? I'm a child of God. Am I doing His will with my life, or have I been distracted? Have I been distracted from God's call for me? Have I been distracted from what He's asking me to do? Is it just the cares of the world? Now, I don't want this to be like I'm going to feel sad, Ben's beating me up, condemning word. No, I'm a builder. I'm just like, let's bring the challenge to ourselves. If I'm truly following Jesus, which is what a Christian is, it's just a follower of Jesus Christ. If I'm following Him, I need to ask the question, am I spending my time on what's really important? Am I prioritizing what I'm doing with my seconds that God has given me? See, gold, silver, precious gems, just taking your time and putting it into prayer. Go and having some garden time. Man, I love that. Just go and sit in the garden. There's a pastor up in Kununurra. He calls his home Eden. And he always calls it like, let's always just make sure we come back to the beginning. Bring it back to Eden. Bring it back to walking with God. I mean, time with God, that's awesome. You know, maybe God's calling you to be the best coffee maker that there is in Brisbane. You know, be the best cappuccino maker, and then don't forget to make them for me. You know, but if God's calling you to do that, He's saying, hey, I want to trade some of your 86,400 seconds and put it into making coffee for people and just love on people. You know, some of you might be called to be a really great businessman. So you're taking your seconds, you're trading it for money, which is not wrong at all if that's God's call. So you're trading your seconds, you're trading your life to get money. Money is now a tool in the hand of a Christian following Jesus, and you sow it into extending the kingdom of God. You know, or maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to actually just to sell up. I want you to just to go overseas. I want you to go on the call of duty. You know, the ultimate call of duty, not the video game. Who here knows the Call of Duty video game? Yeah, all right. It's a good game. You know, I like it too. But basically, there's nations in the world, and if you're a citizen of that nation, you'll take 1 or 2 years and actually put it into the army. You'll be trained in the military. I mean, Israel, I mean, Finland, I mean, all these nations, they actually will train people for a couple of years, every person, just because you're a citizen of that particular nation. Did you know that they give their time into that? For us, we are citizens of heaven. And the greatest call of duty the world has ever known is the call of duty from God Himself, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, with Cambodia, there is, let's say, roughly 14 million people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Not heard the name of Jesus. They've never heard His name. And they're just there waiting for us. I mean, to get ourselves, it takes some of our seconds to somehow go and reach those people. And that's just one nation. And they want to know. I mean, We are seeing it so much. I mean, I've had grandmas on the Vietnamese border just at Christmas time, and they are crying on the telephone saying, please, can you plant a church in our village? They're calling us. I've got people crying saying, there's no Christians here, there's no church here. Can you please come and plant a church here and tell us about Jesus? Seriously, man, that's just so awesome. I don't know about you guys, but do you guys walk down the street and people are trying to pull you into their homes, tell me about Jesus? Is that happening much here in Brisbane? Not much. Well, pray it up, man. Divine appointments. But man, over there in Cambodia right now, people are wanting to know. The harvest is ripe and ready. It's like the fruit is there right now. And I'm just praying, God, send laborers. Send laborers into Cambodia. It wasn't even about money. It was actually about people. My staff are already completely stretched time-wise. So I had to say to these grandmas, we can't go right now. So they said, can you accept all of our families? Can our families from this village just all up and move and come and live with you in Sihanoukville, like 10 hours away? They all wanted to come and live with us to know about God. And I'm like, man, our house is already full. I've got people sleeping in the lounge already. You know, I'm like, man, I said we can't. But they're on the phone and they're crying out, someone please come and tell us about Jesus. I mean, that's the harvest right now. So don't, when you're in this situation here, don't forget that there is a harvest right now and they need you guys. What I would call gold, silver, and precious gems is the greatest call the world has ever known. Getting involved in the call of duty. And to be involved, it is as simple as this. Right now, you guys here are the richest people in the world. You guys heard that recently? You guys financially are the richest people in the world right here in this room. I mean, that's amazing, eh? I don't know when was the last time someone said that to you. You guys are the richest people in the world right now. You are the minority. You are the 1% for all the world. Who here eats twice a day? Two meals a day. Let's keep it real. Who has a meal twice? That includes a piece of fruit at one time of the day or a piece or a bicky. All right, go again. Who here doesn't eat twice a day? Who here has got paralyzed arms and they need prayer right now? I can pray for you at the end, mate. Bring it on. So if you eat twice a day, you're the richest people in the world. It's as simple as that. The basic necessity of life is food. I've got friends that don't eat for days on end. My friends. I've got some friends over there. And it's not a one-off thing. It'll be like every week. They'll go 2-3 days, don't eat. Not because they're not hungry, not because they're fasting, but because they just don't have the food to eat. So we're the richest. So we've got to make sure that the cares of this world, the cares in Australia, don't choke our thinking that we can't do something overseas. Did you know that if you took some of your 86,400 seconds and went and traded it and said, man, I'm just going to trade some of my seconds for $10, just for 10 bucks. Do you know if 200 people do that? I don't know how big your guys' church is. Let's say 200. We'll go with that. If 200 people gave $10 a week, took some of their seconds and traded, man, I'm just going to, this is the call of God. This is gold, silver, and precious gems. This is what's going to stand in the fire at the end of time, is just trading some seconds for just $10. We'll make it easy. 10 bucks to be able to go out for the mission field. If 200 people did that, you could pay for a family in Australia with kids to live on the mission field full time, getting people saved. Not only would it cover their money to live over there full time and get them saved, it would plant churches. Not only would that same $10 plant churches, but it would also enable 5 people from that 200 to go on a 2-week short-term mission trip every year. Not only would it do that, it would enable projects such as the Princess Project or feeding projects or similar community projects, all from $10 a week. Does that blow you out? Man, 10 bucks. 200 people giving $10. Imagine every church in Australia, every church that had 200 people gave $10 a week. Every person goes, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus. God said that everything's going to stand the test of fire. Sowing money into the Great Commission is gold, silver, precious gems. $10 is actually going to save people for eternity. If I had that 10 bucks, I could plant a church right now in Vietnam, next to Vietnamese border in a Mi Mot. It's a town that's translated witchcraft. Who wants to go and live in witchcraft? That's the name of the town, witchcraft. There is no church there, and they want a church right now. Last Christmas. What's that? 3 months ago. 200 people coming together giving $10. Now, maybe you guys go, man, my budget is really stretched. You know, to find $10, like even I've chased some seconds to get just 10 bucks. But you, remember, you guys are the richest people in the world. You guys eat twice a day or more, maybe six. Have you been in house 6 times a day? Good metabolism, all that stuff, you know. If you didn't, if you couldn't trade it to get 10 bucks, you go, okay, well, out of my food budget, I'm going to take one meal. Just one meal out of the whole week. So instead of eating steak for dinner, I'm just going to tell, hey guys, we're having toast and Vegemite. I was just in New Zealand last week, toast and Marmite. Said they can't have toast and Marmite because Marmite closed down. They have to have toast and Vegemite. But now they're saying Marmite's coming back in June, but that's a different story. That's New Zealand. But you guys, toast and Vegemite instead of steak for one meal. And do you know that? If you're a mum and you've got kids, that's actually a really cool idea because that's a very easy meal. So not only have you saving people for eternity, you've actually saved some more seconds because you don't have to cook steak now for your kids. Kids, we're having toast and you're tired. It's been a big day. You know, like, oh man, I'm just so tired. I've been going to kids' school, swimming lessons, man, hockey, soccer, rugby. Man, kids, oh, that's right. Ben mentioned toast and Vegemite. Hey guys, we're saving people for eternity. Your kids are having toast and Vegemite. There you go. And then you go watch some telly. I mean, hey, save some time doing that, eh? Pretty good. 10 bucks. I mean, some of you might save 20 or 30 bucks, but I'm just going to say, I'm just going to keep it simple. 200 people giving $10 a week send a family full-time on the mission field with kids. And that way, if you add 200, suddenly you had finance for the Great Commission. The reason that we're actually alive following Jesus now, the Great Commission, you'd be like, well, we've got the money there now. Somebody's got to go. You're like, who's going to live overseas full-time on the mission field for Jesus out of your 200? You were like, come on, Dave, you got to go, champ. Take your kids out of there. And then every year you'd be like, okay, which 5 people are going on a short-term mission trip? Someone's got to go. You see, guys, someone has to go, and someone has to pay for them to go. Otherwise, we've missed it. We've missed the boat. We've missed our calling. The reason for us to be here is not to build up our homes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home. I mean, that's great. But as long as your priority is the kingdom of God. So that's the thing. Don't let everything take your priority off the kingdom of God and suddenly focus on just the ins and outs, the mundane, just the things of the world that is going to keep coming up. Just go, man, I just need 10 bucks. Yep, we've got the rent. We've got all these issues. We've got these things to do. We've got the mortgage. We've got a kid's got to go to school. Rah, rah, rah. But hey, that's right. That's just the normal stuff. But if I take $10 and sow into the kingdom of God, now, that's a very simple task. I mean, I could say God's calling all of you just to sell up and go overseas, but I'm not saying that. I mean, how cool would that, man, as everyone just goes overseas and gets amongst it? But we really need people to get amongst it. Is that cool? Does that spin you out? 200 people giving 10 bucks and actually pays for someone to go overseas full-time and plant churches and establish community projects and 5 people on the mission field every year? $10. Toast and Vegemite. Never forget this message. This is a life-changing message right now. So the harvest is huge and ready right now, and we need workers. We need to be praying for workers to be sent to Cambodia. I mean, there's plenty of other nations. You guys heard of the 10-40 window? Yep. That 10-40 window, the poorest people in the world and the most people that have never heard the name of Jesus. That's your latitudes. Most people never heard about the name of Jesus, and the most unreached people and the poorest people of the world in the 10-40 window. This is the window that we need to go to. It's fair enough to say, oh, Ben, what about New Zealand? What about Australia? I'm like, yeah, go for it, man. Go and share. But if there's 1 million people, Christians, focusing on one side of the log and the other side's really heavy and there's only one dude over there, let's get a bit of equality going on. And just for, I'll put this out for Pastor Matt. I don't know what you guys pay him. I hope you pay him really, really good. But did you know if you guys said, okay, here's 10 bucks, mission field. Here's 10 bucks, give it to your pastor. How's that? Everyone, did you know if 200 people just did that? You'd be looking, let your pastor be the most blessed person financially out of all of you. Look after you. I mean, he hasn't asked me to say that. He keeps running away, actually. Every time I turn up, he's not here. He wasn't here last year either. He wants a holiday. I'll see him this week. I have a coffee with him. But yeah, really, the Bible talks about the teruma. This is a side note. You know, the first fruits, give it to the man of God in your life. You guys should be waving that money before God and saying, yeah, and just giving it to Pastor Matt and saying, mate, we just love you. You're our pastor. You're the man of God in my life. Bless you. Give him money. And then you get 10 bucks for your church, just the house of God. Did you know if you guys did that? $10 missions, $10 for the man of God in your life, $10 for your church, pay for the power, the electricity, pay for community events. It's as simple as every Christian just giving a little bit. Man, you guys can seriously change the world. And if you don't give anything to the kingdom of God, take it to God in prayer and really challenge yourselves in the heart, because that's one area of your life that you need to be generous in. Otherwise, yep, saved, go to heaven, all that stuff, but your life's going to be pretty sucky. We'll say sucky. Really. The generous soul will be made rich and the other guy won't be. This isn't even my message, by the way. It's nothing to do with my message whatsoever. Not yet. So we need workers. Please pray for workers to be sent out to Cambodia. I mean, we're so excited. Hey, it's pretty cool. You guys are having John Fincaldi coming. Is that right? Or what was that notice? Or is it it's a message? It's a message of his. Oh, mate, I haven't met him yet, but I've been told he's an absolute champion. At a conference I was at in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, a guy called Jay Johns. Have you guys heard of Jay Johns? Yeah, you heard Jay? Anyone else? Jay Johns. He's like Anglican guy. Man, he's a full-on evangelist, this guy. He cracks me up. He's from Europe. And he said this statement that was really awesome. He says, live simply so that others can simply live. How's that? If you live simply, you can actually enable other people just to stay alive. I mean, we've just met another 38 families that live on the rubbish dump. Did you see some of those pictures up there? They live on the rubbish dump. That's their home. They live there. Their kids, they just go through the rubbish every day. It's the rubbish dump. And it's on fire. So I'm driving down the road when we go and minister there. And some of the rubbish is on fire. And the smoke is through the whole place. And usually if it was us, you run away from the smoke. They live there. So they just get used to breathing in smoke. They just live there. Yep, that's on fire there. And my house is here. And, you know, there's no air conditioning. It's just fire. It's on fire. These people need us. They really do. These people need us to get amongst it. I mean, it's so awesome. But that's the sad part. The exciting part is these guys are on fire for Jesus. Man, they are just one after another just making decisions to follow Jesus. So live simply so that others can live. And be the hero the world is crying out for. Did you guys know that you guys here, the richest people in the world, are the heroes? You guys are the heroes. You guys are the absolute champions of faith. You guys, you're an original. You have your own thumbprint, your own fingerprint. There is no one on earth that has the same fingerprint as you. You are an original creation. God made you original, perfect, blessed. You guys are his kids. You guys are the heroes that the world is crying out for right now. And if the world turns around and says, we say suck in church, you suck. If you can't, you will deal with it. Of course you can say suck. You suck. They spit on your face and say, you suck. You can't do anything. You're a loser. Don't listen to the world. Do not listen to what things come your way, what things from other people, because if that will stop you, for sure the devil will line up people after person to come and say something negative to you. When they speak it, don't worry about it. Just let it slide away and just get back to what the Bible says about you. You are God's special treasure. You are God's precious sons and daughters. The King of Kings validates you. And even if you have nothing, you have no clothes, you have no money, you have no family, you live in a cardboard box on the street, you are royalty in God's eyes. God sees you as absolute royalty, and he's asking, will you step up to change the world for him? That's it. So when the world kicks you down, just get back up and say, man, I'm a child of God. My identity is in Jesus Christ. I'm just going to keep walking. And by me living simply, I can actually save people, not only physically in this lifetime, but for eternity, because I'm sowing $10 into the mission field. And then go over. That'll stir you up. That'll stir the fire in your heart. You actually go over and see it, not just by DVD or some random guy with no hair preaching. You just get up there and you actually see it for your own self and you look and go, wow, it's real, it's true. There are millions of people right now that want to know about Jesus. I mean, we've traveled around quite a lot and I get amazed when I turn up to another village and I'm like, hey guys, have you heard about Jesus? No, who's he? Never heard the name of Jesus. Sometimes you meet someone and they're like, have you heard about Jesus? And one guy on an island, he's like, yeah. And we were excited because no one had heard about Jesus yet. And this one guy says, yeah, we've heard. Went up and said, what do you know? I know the name. I've waited for years sitting in my village for someone to come and tell me about him. But I've heard his name before. Sitting in a village for years waiting for someone to come and tell him about Jesus. And this is us. We can do it. You know, this team, this church, this group right here, you guys, I mean, I should really know what missions you're into. You're going to Japan. That's cool. Man, get behind sending these guys to Japan. The more and more you can send out your guys going, man, just send them. Give them a kick. Go. Get amongst it. I want to go snowboarding in Japan. That's going to be great. But these guys are going to go minister there. So you guys are the heroes this world needs. You guys are the best. You guys are the champions. You guys are plan A. And it's a pretty random request, but does anyone have a football? We've got a balloon. I'm going to the balloon. Quick little demo because you'll remember this demonstration. Who can I have? Can I have you? Bring it on. All right. Who here plays gridiron? Who here knows about gridiron? Seen gridiron on the TV? I personally love gridiron because it's like they have an objective. They've got a goal. It's the message. It's like the football. You can hold that for me, sir. He's got the message of Jesus Christ right now. He has the message. But there is an enemy that does not want him to get a touchdown, that does not want him to take the message out there into the nations. I mean, just $10 would get a touchdown. Did you know that the enemy will set up people to block you? So you start walking with me, champion. All right, you can stand up, sir, yep. Don't be rough, don't be too rough. Okay, so in gridiron, basically the objective is, here you can stay right there for a sec. He needs to get a touchdown over there, but your guys come to block him. Now, he cannot do it by himself. I mean, sometimes you get these guys, they can, they like jump over and they fly over people and they get it. But really, he needs a team. And that's why the person that's taking the message of the gospel needs a team around him to come and stand and block. I'm going to block you. I'm going to block you. All right? Thanks, mate. And really, there's big hits coming, but he needs a team. He needs guys to block. So now he's coming up. He's going to be a blocker, though. He's a blocker. You're going to come up, mate? He's your blocker. You got what you need, your blocker, mate. He's coming. You come with me. Can you come this way? All right. He's coming to tackle. You're going to block him. Block him. All right, and he's going past again. It's awesome. And he comes, and he gets to the touchdown, and he does a victory dance. Come on, touchdown. People are saved. It's awesome. I mean, it's a very silly example, but really, you're going to remember that. Getting a touchdown for Jesus. We all need a team. We all need someone to just be behind us. We need someone to back us so that when people do get sent out, they're not alone. When you guys send missionaries out, you need to be praying for them. You need to be supporting them by email, communication, calling them. How are you going? And you need to send money to them. Don't send used tea bags. I mean, I'm glad I'm not in the day of used tea bags. Tell you what, I'm speaking to guys that are like, you know, 50 years ago, they were missionaries. I didn't know, but seriously, you'd dunk a tea bag, you'd use it once for yourself, and then you'd put it in a special envelope, and you would send the used tea bag to the missionary. Really, I met people that have received used tea bags. I mean, they're like 70, 80 years old now, but they remember they'd get used tea bags. I don't understand that really, but I just think, praise God, I can get my own tea bags. You know, we're very blessed. But really, you guys are the ones that get touchdowns for Jesus. God needs you. You have the message of hope. You have the message of life inside of you. And the simplicity of living simply can actually save a nation. I'm believing for the nation of Cambodia. A few months ago, God put in my heart, disciple the nation. I mean, I didn't even want to have my own church. That was my thing at the beginning. I don't want to have my own church. God, I said that'll be the worst job in the world, to be a pastor of your own church. Don't give me that job. I mean, I've shoveled horse poo, man. I've done all sorts of jobs throughout my life. But to pastor a church, no, thank you very much. Don't want it. And funny enough, God gave me the job. All right. Man, how did I get on that? Just keep seeing you. Miss you. She's awesome. Your worship leader's awesome. Audra's a champion. Just, guys, you can do it. I really believe that. I really hope this message just doesn't just, you know, go along with all the other messages. I want you guys to know you guys can make a difference in the world today. The nations of the world need you. They're waiting for you guys. You guys have the resources. You guys have the $10. Over there to ask a Cambodian for $10, that's 5.5 days' wage. A teacher earns $70 a month. A policeman gets $70 a month. You know, it's crazy. It's a third world nation. They don't have the financial resource yet to be doing amazing things, like as in sending out some amazing amounts of money to fund missions. But you guys are the richest people in the world. I'm believing though Cambodia and our church is going to be packed full of millionaires and billionaires, and we're going to finance a worldwide revival, man. It's going to be full on awesome. I mean, that's just me though, getting excited and just believing God for amazing stuff. But guys, you can do it. So get amongst it. Can I pray for you? We thank you, God, so much, Lord, that you're here, Lord. You're always with us, Lord. You never leave us or forsake us, God. And I pray today, Lord, that, Lord, I do pray for the fire of your Holy Spirit, Lord, just to be touching our hearts and lives, Lord, to lead us into knowing you more and knowing who we are, that we can do amazing things for you, that we can be the hero the world is crying out for, Lord God. So I pray for everyone here, you continue to bless them, grow them, strengthen them, stretch them, Lord God, that they would know you and the hope of your calling, Lord God. I thank you for them, Father. Lead them and guide them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ben. I was just looking. In a few moments, we're going to take up a love offering for Ben. Usually, as is our custom, any guest preachers, help financially into their ministry. So we'll be taking up a love offering for Ben and Cherie and his family in a few moments. So if you can prepare for that. I just want another announcement. Jenny, is this your last Sunday?